with kids, there's so much that they experience for the first time. There's so much excitement around the most mundane things, or things that we consider to be mundane or boring. Kids get so excited just to see their dad on stage, to see a fire truck, to like, you know. Then I'm just like, I wish I could have kept that sort of excitement and energy through to my age now.
Hi, my name is Khabo Legora and you are tuned into Son of a Son, and my guest today is comedian Nicholas Goliath. Man, we're just going to jump straight into it. It's me, Khabo, and you tuned in again to Son of a Son. Man, today I am joined by a man we actually just met a few minutes ago.
We did.
We actually just met a few minutes ago, and we were brought together by one thing, is that...
Simi. Oh.
<You're there. laughs> Simi's the producer. But we were brought together by this one topic of being a dad. So this whole thing is about me being a dad, talking to other dads about being a dad.
Yeah.
That's simple, bro.
Nice.
So welcome. I know that I've seen you in the public, I've seen you in the game ads.
Are we?
I've seen you in the ads.
Yes. Dope. Way back.
Dope work.
When I was doing well in life. Oh. Yes, it was nice times. Thank you. Shout out to Kaim.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Nicholas Goliath.
Yes, sir.
As Khabo didn't mention. sorry. Also, I'm a comedian. Yeah. Don't take this thing seriously.
Let's go, bro.
Let's go.
Bro, so obviously, like, I had to do Google Nicholas Goliath.
Yeah.
What is he? How is his life? Is he a dad?
He is a dad of two. Dad of two boys. 10 years old, Matthew, and Adam just turned 6 now on the 24th of September.
Shucks, bro. That's all primary school. Sorry, I think there, bro.
Yeah, grade 5, going to grade 5, and still preschool, or Sheesh. Kindergarten, as they call it.
Damn, man.
Yeah.
I still have to catch up.
How old are yours? Or you? How many? Let's start there. How many?
4.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see.
You know that condoms are free in places.
Dude, there
are places where you can have that. They just give them to you. Just like, yeah. It's your choice.
Yeah.
You obviously chose not to use them.
I have 4.
Okay.
The oldest is 4.
Okay. Yo. You didn't even waste time also. One after the other.
And there's twins in the mix.
Okay. And I was going to say, is this one mother? How many mothers?
One mother.
Because okay, I was going to say, that's like 4 years of pregnant.
Yeah, no. One mother at that time, I had to, she still wants to go, but I'm like, nah, it's not happening, lady. Can't do it.
4. Yeah.
So you have 2 boys, bro.
I have 2 boys.
Bro, I have 1 boy and 3 girls.
Yo.
But.
I feel like you need a hug. I'll give you a high five.
Bro, it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, because the eldest is 4.
Sure.
You've got time.
Yeah, but I think most people think they're gonna drive you nuts because of the number and because of the age. But it's not that bad. I think 2 boys is hectic.
Actually not. Because the age gap there also is great.
Yeah,
so
that's nice.
So
yeah,
10 and 6, almost 5, because my eldest is turning 11 now in February.
Sure.
But the age gap is nice. They've got because he's a proper big brother. Like he's got that. He understands his role.
Sure.
He loves teaching his little brother and pointing out his little brother's flaws.
And the
flaws.
Little brother doesn't feel like, don't talk to me.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. He's just like, I know what I'm doing. But he's like that with everything. Everyone is just like, I know what I'm doing. Just leave me.
And how did... Yeah, now we have to track back to 10 years ago.
Yeah, let's go back.
To 10 years ago. Was it
before
a big
comedy.
Shift?
Hey.
Was it before comedy?
10 years ago, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I started comedy in 2011.
Wow.
So 10 years ago, I was still a CA, or call center agent.
Wow.
I
thought you were going like, totted.
No.
Okay.
I was a call center agent.
Yeah.
And at that time, my wife and I had been together for 5 years, 6 years already.
Nice time.
We moved in probably 8 months before our first one was born.
Uh-huh.
We moved in together because now when we live together, then, you know, 3 times to do things.
Yes.
It was a huge mindset shift.
Did it, like, the fact that you're going to have a boy at that time... having not even started like comedy, like what shifted for you as a dude at that? I know like firstborns are usually they do something to a man.
Yeah. No, for me, it was just the realization that I'm responsible for a whole nother life. Like this person relies on me for everything.
Yeah.
It's like they can't even use the toilet without me being involved at some point.
Fact.
Then I'm like,
fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was just, cause at 10 years ago, I was still in the middle of my party phase in life. I was out partying every opportunity. A little bit. It took a while. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
Like it took probably about a year for me to to properly.
No, adjusting is a thing, bro.
Yeah. Like it's weird. For my wife it was an instant thing. She just, you know, women they take to the thing, they understand the thing.
Yeah.
And I think for me it was just a matter of processing it and understanding and yeah, like I said, it took about a year for me to properly realize that I'm actually a father. And that things need to change. And I think that was also part of the reason I started looking into other avenues, getting out of the call center.
Sure. Because you didn't dig it as
No, I hated every single day in the call center. And also I was like, this lifestyle that I'm going to be able to provide for my kid on a call center agent salary is not the lifestyle I want my kid to have.
Yes, comedians are balling. You see now, this is the elevation.
I wish we were balling, man. We balls small. We got small balls, golf balls. We're working our way up.
Yeah,
yeah. But man, it's just fun. You know what? The main thing for me is that with kids, everything is new all the time.
Bro, you know what? What you just said, I've never heard. I mean, I probably have, but in passing. But I haven't heard a father say it's fun.
Ah, it's the most amazing, man.
Bro, like you actually just touched something. It's just like I've never heard a parent say it's fun. Because everyone is like, hey Mona, it's real.
It is real.
You know, yeah, it's real.
It's real. It's a challenge.
But I love that perspective that you're saying it's fun.
Yeah.
Why?
Because like for me, I've gotten past the stage of first time experiences. At our age now, we've had our first time. There's very few things that you're experiencing for the first time.
Sure.
With kids, there's so much that they experience for the first time. There's so much excitement around the most mundane things or things that we consider to be mundane or boring. Kids get so excited just to see their dad on stage, to see a fire truck, to like, you know. Then I'm just like, I wish I could have kept that sort of excitement and energy through to my age now. And then I realized that it's a choice, man. We choose to see the rough side, I've got to pay school fees. My kids don't listen. This, that.
I feel you.
And it's there. It's always going to be there. So if that's what you focus on, that's all you're going to see. So I just try and focus on the fun aspect, man.
That's dope, man. And then now fast forward 4 years later.
Yeah.
And the second man.
Number two. Surprise, surprise.
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 Yeah, yeah, you. Yeah.
I was done with one. I was like, I gave God his high five. I was like, thanks for the boy.
Then one part, slipped through the keeper.
Hey, I couldn't reverse in time. Straight in the gate. Hey, yo.
Yeah.
But man, that was also just like a big mind eye-opening experience. Because if you think one is tough, two, you know, the minute I found out she was pregnant, because that was as our first one was going into kindergarten and kind of schooling.
Yes.
And then my first thought was, I'm going to have to pay double school fees.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
No. Look, you Champions League, me, I'm playing here.
No. Still. Same feel, bro. Yeah. I remember if I've shared this with any of the other guys in the other sessions. Like, I remember when we went to the gynae, bro. And they're doing a check.
Yeah.
And then they do the gel, they do the what?
Yeah, the scan things.
Hey. And then she smiles. She's like, you're having twins. Bro, I told her, I'm like, you are lying.
You have no reason to be excited at this.
I'm like, you are lying. Bro, yeah. And I mean, so like, it was a surprise, but like times two and all of that. So all those thoughts ran through my mind. My boy at the time, he was like, I think 18 months or two, almost 2 years old.
Yeah.
So it's like, now it was three under 3 years old.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus.
Come
now. But anyway, bro, yeah. I mean, but we're still rocking it. But I mean, I get what you say.
Yeah.
I get what you say.
It's a scary, daunting thing because also you don't know where you're going to be, what's going to happen in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. You don't know where you're going to be. It's just, and this person is there relying on you at least for the next 18 years. They're your responsibility.
So now, did you have guys around you to, I guess, throughout the journey of being a dad now, did you have mates, guys, other dads that you could draw from, like reference, like how do I do this thing or support system?
You know, at the time, so with my first one, like I said, I was still deep in the party phase. So my friends at the time were all, I had one friend who had a kid, two friends who had kids. So I kind of got an idea from them. I always knew I was going to be a dad.
Sure.
I always wanted to be a dad. I always liked the idea of having kids. So I think throughout my life, I've always just looked at parenting, at how dads treat their kids, and just sort of taken the bits that I think work.
Sure.
And kind of molded it into my own, thing.
Your own vibe, yeah.
Because there's nobody that's perfect. There's no perfect parent out there.
Yeah.
So like with information or advice that people give you, you've got to choose what you need and then use that.
Mm.
And so far so good, man. Like I must say, my kids I'm happy with where they are in life at the moment.
I'm curious. I wondered, even now, I'm just like, I'm probably the best or the closest reference that he has to how a man should be.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Especially in 2019.
Hit the nail on the head, bro. You're right. Especially now where I'm like, you have two boys, 2019.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like it should be scary, but like you're
It's terrifying.
Is it?
It's terrifying, dude. You know, the reason it's terrifying for me, obviously the whole gender-based violence movement has gained traction, which should have had long ago. It shouldn't be a problem to start with.
Yes.
But anyway, so when all of this stuff exploded, it made me start thinking about my kids. I've got two boys.
Yeah.
I've got family members who have girls. And for me, the fear is raising a girl in these times, like where there's no respect.
Sure.
There's no respect for not women. There's no respect in general, just in life. We don't respect each other. We don't respect men, women, black, white, color. It doesn't matter. There's just a lack of respect in the world.
Mm.
So it's hella scary for me to think about raising girls. Then the second thing, because I've got boys, is I've got to raise these boys so that they don't end up on the list, so that they don't become those types of guys.
Sure.
They've got to understand boundaries. They've got to understand how to treat a woman in the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, guys are guys. Guys will make jokes. They'll make comments, but there are limits. There are like,
Important, bro.
Yeah.
What you're saying is very important.
And that's the scary thing for me. Like it doesn't matter how much we do as parents.
Yeah.
You know, your kids, their influences come from so many places, the social media, the school. Yeah.
And I think, sorry to interrupt you, and I'm like, and I 100% I agree with you. And it's like, you can only shepherd them to a certain point, lead them, guide them to a certain point, give them the principles, the values and whatever, instill whatever you want in them. At some point, they will make their own choices.
Yeah.
But at least you know, and it's not to say I've done my job, so it's up to them, so it's not my fault.
Yeah.
But it's saying that, listen, what you instill in your kids, it matters when they're 16, 30 years old.
Yeah.
We actually downplay the amount of value that there is in that. Because I know, like, there's stuff like when you're much older, you understand, man, I remember my dad used to do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And you're like, and when that hits me, I'm like, yo, damn. I was actually like a sponge without knowing.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, kudos to you. Like, two boys, I mean, It like now where we are now, I think that's why a lot of guys, I've heard so many females or just like people that aren't parents that say, I'm not sure I want to bring a kid into this world because of how screwed it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let alone now, it's like, I'm not sure I want to bring a boy into this world because not because he's going to turn into something or a girl into this world because she might be violated. But it's like, look, we have the opportunity now with our kids to try correct the mentality that you know that people have as they grow.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly the thing.
Yeah.
And it's it's such a scary thing to think that they could end up anywhere doing anything. And like you say, it's the importance of instilling the right moral compass now in their formative years to make sure, like this, I've never done drugs in my life. Not because I'm scared of drugs, but I was always scared of my parents finding out and being disappointed.
Yeah.
And it, like I was surrounded by friends. I used to go with my friends to the dealers. I've had all types, been around all types of drugs.
Yeah.
So it's the opportunity was always there, but it's the lessons that my parents taught me that made it easy for me to say to my friends, do you want to hit lines? You want to do pills? You want to take whatever? Go
That's
for it.
That's where it is, bro.
But it's not my thing.
Yeah.
And I just basically want the same thing. I want to be that voice in my kids' head when their friends are doing the wrong thing. We've all been in those situations where the crew is doing something and you know that you shouldn't be involved, but you're like, hey, I don't want to be that guy.
Bro, like, I think you see, I'm going back now to memories where I was like, and you're right. Like, when you were with those group of friends and you know that something's just going left
we
side.
We shouldn't be here.
And we shouldn't be here. It's like, you don't, like, it's not that, like, you have, there's just something that's just, I shouldn't be here. But it's that thing that was instilled at home.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But
you know that it's the wrong thing.
Sure.
And you know that if your parents knew, you're going to be disappointed.
Sure.
They're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
And you didn't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen that in my boy. My son, he's like very, his heart is on his sleeve, like very close to his
mother. Firstborn.
Yeah, firstborn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's just at least got one. Got one boy.
Yeah, for sure. The leader.
He's the leader. So now I know that like when he's like, he gets very emotional.
Yeah.
So like if something is like very tough or whatever, and I've seen like he does not want to see us disappointed.
Yeah.
What you're saying is actually very powerful. I don't know why that is, that we just don't want to disappoint our parents.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. And I've seen him like if he does something wrong with his sisters or whatever the case is or whatever, it might be anything else.
Yeah.
And the first thing is just like if I tell him, bro, that I didn't like that. Like I'm a bit disappointed. It sounds a bit harsh, right?
Yeah.
But as he grows, he starts to understand that I don't want to do that.
Yes.
It grieves my parents if I'm just doing this nonsense. If he's like, if he punches another person like unnecessarily or whatever, and I said, bro, that's not how we do things here. It's correcting it and nipping it in the bud. And so even if he goes through the emotion of, oh no, don't shout at me or whatever, it's there, it's dealt with, and he understands it.
Yeah. And it's a thing that's ongoing. Like, you know, I've got the same thing. My firstborn, Matthew, he's also just this emotional, soft soul. Like, when he's done something wrong, he knows that he has to come and say, okay, I've done this thing. Because he's learning to play the violin. Mm. And a couple of weeks ago, he was running for the bus, forgot the violin at school, jumped on the bus, only realized on the bus. The bra got off the bus in tears. Because he's like, I'm in trouble. It's that thing of I left my violin.
Yeah.
And the big thing for me there is I can't fight with him. He's already beat himself up the whole bus trip home. He's getting off the bus in tears. Then I'm like, cool, you understand the importance, you understand the value of this thing, that you need this thing. And that's something that I changed from my previous, well, from my parents' parenting style, is just the explanation of
things,
why I'm angry, so that you understand that it's not just a anger thing.
Yes.
Why are you angry? Why?
Because our folks would discipline us with no reason.
Yeah.
If you ask the reason, it's because I said so.
Yes.
And then
don't talk back.
Don't talk back. And there's, and I think that's where some things just sit, where it's like, why is this happening? And then you don't get the reasoning, so you think that, well, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so sometimes I just sit up, like, bro, actually, let me just go slightly offside. Bro, two boys, you know what I always wonder, bro?
Mm.
Testosterone.
Yeah.
Is it a thing? Like, as in, like, managing boys' energy in a house, is it a thing?
You know, I think they might still be too young to be dealing with the testosterone things. They fight all the time, but it's fighting over whose turn it is on the PlayStation to play Fortnite. They fight over silly things. But then I see like the moments where they help each other, and so it's there. Like, you know, it's just like you can see the love is there, but it's also that when you spend too much time with anyone, that eventually you're gonna get tired of their face and they have something to say. You know, it's so they're just like but they're good when it needs to be a love situation. Oh man. That's what makes my heart happy to see my boys.
Bro, I see my boy, bro, and he's like, I don't know, like he's very like, yo, he's not aggro. Aggro's not the word to use, but he's like very, very physical, bro.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, yo, and he has sisters. All his sisters are like, he's twice the size.
Yeah.
He's very big for his age. And so sometimes I can see, man, he wants to just like push, ruffle around and all of that stuff. And then I'm like, yo, okay. Yes, is you break someone.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, come. Yeah, like, come and wrestle with me.
Leave. He's 4 years old. Yeah. He's 4 years old. So it's your job to guide him and say, like, sure. Don't wrestle your sisters. Yeah. Come wrestle dad.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's work this energy out.
And sometimes I think the day that hit me, there was a time, he was wrestling with them. He hurt one of his sisters. And I was like, it's not, you can do that. It's not that you shouldn't play around. But I was just like, no, come do it with me because you are overpowering them.
Yeah, you're older, stronger, and bigger than all
100%. But when I realized that, I was just like, now, guys aren't always aware of that.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, I wonder now, I'm just like, man, with other dads, like, if you don't learn or teach your son how to understand his physicality, when he goes outside of the house, how does he carry that? Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. Like, you know, I don't know if it makes sense, but like I often say to people, I don't blame racists in 2019, like young racists, because they've been conditioned, they've been trained. Their parents, their grandparents, their neighbors, the society, 100%, those, you know, they every day they taught that it's okay to be racist. So when they go out into the world, they have no idea that the world is not racist because their world has been a racist world. So it's normal. And I feel like it's the same thing with your kids. Like you've got to put the lines in the sand. You've got to let them know you can't be fighting with girls. Like it is, as a boy, you can't be fighting with girls because you're bigger and stronger and whatever. And my thing is, I teach my kids respect. I teach my kids respect over everything.
Yeah.
Over religion, over race, over everything. I had, because my wife is Muslim. I'm Christian. It was a huge thing in the beginning when we were having our first kid between the parents. Wow. Because they wanted us to choose. And we basically said to them, we're not choosing. I'm not choosing a religion for my child because in 15, 20 years, they could decide, I don't want to be Christian. I don't want to be Muslim. I want to be Hindu, Tamil, Buddhist, whatever. And they've only been indoctrinated or taught this one specific thing. And my problem with religion is that it separates people immediately. It's the same as race. Like, because mine is always better than yours. Not race-wise, but religion-wise, mine is always better than yours. The minute you, like, especially when it comes to very staunch religious people, your way of believing is wrong. If you're not believing my way, you're not going to heaven or whatever the higher place is. Then so I'm just like,
I'm curious. Then how do you like handle that for your kids, man? It's probably like when they ask about you and what you believe or what your wife believes. Like, I'm out of real curiosity. Is like, what do you say? Like,
I believe in respect. I believe in respect because if we all respect each other, all of our problems go away. Every single problem we have disappears.
Yeah.
Racism, sexism, everything.
Man, all the foundation of it is just love. It's like whatever religion it is, like love is the common, is the common thing that needs to be there.
Because if I respect you, it doesn't matter what color you are, where you're from, what your background is. I will treat you as a person and we can have a conversation. Yeah. I always treat people, everybody, don't care whether you're the CEO or the T person. I treat you all the same until you give me a reason to treat you differently.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. My kids, if they do find religion or spirituality or whatever, all I want for my kids is for them to be happy, to be happy in life and to live successful lives. In whatever, and that's not financial success. Yeah. I don't care if they broke living in a tent. If that makes them happy, that's fine. That's all I want for them.
That's power, bro. One common question that I ask every dude that comes here, man: how do we become better fathers? so that we can raise better kids.
Okay. You know, the like I said, I've been saying, the big thing for me is the respect, obviously. But I also think we need to let go of the old ways of thinking. You know, the world's changing every day. Like, from the time we walked in here to the time we walk out, there's new technology, there's new applications and whatever out in the world. And yet we're still trying to raise our kids with the old mentality of like this military style of raising kids. And I'm like, we can't raise kids like that, because you raise tough, you're raising soldiers. If that's what you're doing, if you want your kids, everything must be in, kids are kids. Kids are gonna, they're gonna play, they're gonna have fun. Yeah. Like I always say, for me, there's a difference between naughty and disrespectful. A kid that draws on the wall is naughty. You say to that kid, don't draw on the wall. If the kid continues to draw on the wall while looking at you and zapping you, that's disrespectful.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So allow your kids to be naughty. Kids are, they naturally inquisitive. They want to go and find out things and they have to touch something hot before they realize it burns.
Yeah.
So I think the big thing for me is let kids be kids. Let them, because when you get to an adult, you can't go back. There's no going back to being a kid.
Yeah. Like,
and you hear so many people say, oh, I wish I was still 15. I would have done things so much differently.
Yeah.
But I see so many parents who dress their kids in Louis Vuittons and what, and the kid must look and good and be smart and all on Instagram and social media. Then when other kids are running around playing in the sand, your kid can't because he can't dirty his outfit.
Brian, it's happened. I've seen that before. I'm just like, oh, that's a bit sad. I mean, just even on just on that note, like someone said something to me one time, a friend of mine, and she said, like, she was saying they have a lot of kids and whatever, and like she caught herself like saying no, 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 and then at some point late in the day, it was just a long day, and she felt like, actually, how many times do I say no to my child, to my children in a day? Like, stop it. No, 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 no. And thinking about, should you be saying no to everything? Like the freedom of allowing your child to be a child outside of like your military, like kind of like way of doing things. Let the child be a child. Yeah. They draw on, if they draw on a page that they shouldn't have, whatever, man, like it's not, it's the end of the paper. World.
Wipe
like,
the thing off the wall.
Bro, and that, and I mean, like I consciously, I'm having to like learn how to do that, because you kind of like have to unlearn how you were raised, right? If it was bad. Yeah. And then you kind of have to learn how to be okay with allowing certain things to happen.
Yeah. You see, now the thing for me is, even if the way you raised wasn't bad, there were parts of it that you might feel were. Because I can't say my parents raised me poorly.
True,
you know what
true.
I'm saying?
Yeah, so I agree.
It's that thing of changing the small moments. And something I say to my wife is like, we expect kids to know things after we've told them the first time. It's taken me 35 years to learn some of the things I know in my life because of repetition, because of making the same mistake and doing the same thing and realizing that this is not working. I've got to change things. And with kids don't know the difference. They don't know what's right and wrong. It's up to us. And just because you've told them once, don't draw on the wall, that doesn't mean it's locked in for the rest of their lives. Don't draw on walls. You know, it takes time, it takes repetition. And yes, it's annoying to have to tell kids the same thing over and over and over. But they are kids. Let them be kids. Your job is to raise them and make sure they turn out to be decent, respectable humans. That's all. But for now, while the kids, let them have the fun. They're going to get to a stage where there's no more playtime. There's no more time to be jumping and playing and having fun. Where it's all focus and it's all work. Let them have the fun while they can.
And that's why you start having midlife crisis and all these things.
Now you're in the club 50 years old, drinking bottles with sparklers bought by 20-year-olds.
Right, now you're starting another topic.
Yeah, it's a different conversation.
Bro, thank you very much, man. I appreciate your time, man. And that's it, folks.
Son of a Son, a podcast about how being better men can help us raise better kids. Hashtag Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.